going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro. And I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that, too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers, while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge, and now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.
Thank you for tuning into the Sports Ethos Mets podcast. This is your host, Cody Mallory. I'm on Twitter at RealCodyMallory. Once again, I am joined by my two co-hosts, Anthony Dittmar on Twitter. That's at AnthonyDittmar_ and Joe Farrow on Twitter. That is at SwampDragonStan. How's it going, guys?
What's good, bro? What's good, bro? Everything's good besides Nets basketball.
Yeah, that's a big besides. It's been a long... I don't even know. It feels like it's been a year since the Mets have won a game. It's just it's horrible. It's frustrating. They're keeping me up late to watch them lose. I don't know, man. I'm frustrated. Nets players are frustrated. Nets fans are frustrated. It's been brutal. But besides the Nets, how are you guys doing?
I'm doing okay. I mean, I'm still in first place, and I even widened my margin.
Yeah, but at what cost? The Nets have lost six games in a row.
I predicted five in a row.
I was going to say, Joe, you sickened me out. This man's thriving off the Nets losing. That's all I got to say.
I'm not thriving. It pisses me off. But the one, like, good thing about it.
Hedging his happiness. It's like betting on against your team.
Yeah.
That would have been a smart move by you, Joe. I tried to be the exact opposite, be optimistic, and man, has it burned me in the ass.
Exactly. Oh, wait, I do want to bring up one thing. When I made my predictions last episode, Cody said, I am going to pick win, win, win. And I am coming for you next episode. I'm coming for you. That's what you said to me. And now you're three games behind me, bud.
Cody's in last again.
He's in last again. So what else is new? But
I would say you can't prove it, but like I'm pretty sure they record these and like they get posted somewhere, but I'm not sure. I haven't really ever listened to it, so I don't know if you got any proof.
Yeah. Oh, also, my Twitter handle has changed. It's at the Joe Farrow now. No more Swan.
Okay.
At the
not the real Joe Farrow?
No, not the real. I'm not the real one. I'm just
the fake one, I figured.
He's a dollar store one.
Yeah, I'm great value. Great value.
He's Walmart Joe Farrow.
Yeah, I'm great value Joe Farrow.
All right, what was the ad again? One more time for me.
The Joe Farrow.
All right, I'll make sure I note that. When did you make the switch? I like it.
I don't know. I think it was a couple days ago. I sent it in our chat, but clearly Cody's too busy to read my messages, I guess.
I didn't read that either, to be honest.
Well, I mean, Anthony, you got to get some slack. He hasn't really discovered the whole Wi-Fi invention yet. So, like, I'm not surprised he didn't see it. He must have been out or something. But,
yeah, I mean.
Cody, why don't you choose in your drafts right now?
I wish the viewers knew the fiasco we just had to deal with Anthony's Wi-Fi situation.
We'll keep it in-house.
Yeah, we'll keep the drafts in-house. We'll keep Anthony's. Sure.
Apparently, both Cody's friends and Chicago don't own any Wi-Fi. So.
Jeez.
Yeah, but
shall we talk Nets?
Back to some Nets. I guess that's what we're supposed to do on this podcast. For anyone that listened to our last episode, we discussed pretty much every possible trade move the Nets could make, realistic, not realistic, etc. So we're not going to dive too much into that. Like I said, last episode, we went in depth on it. We're exactly 1 week away from the NBA trade deadline. I do just want to ask you guys, do you think there's any more urgency for Sean Marks to make a trade given how the Nets have been playing recently, like Anthony mentioned, losing six in a row? Or you think he's kind of going to weather the storm, wait for Kevin Durant to come back? Hopefully Joe Harris, if he ever comes back, but we'll get into that. And just kind of ride out this roster. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
What do you think will happen, or what do I think should happen?
I guess go both. Kind of what do you think they should do, and what do you think they will ultimately end up doing?
If they end up making a move, I think it's a minor one. Like, if it's a trade, I'm saying. It's, like, strictly trades.
Right.
I think it's, like, a Dennis Schroeder or, like, some guy for, like, a second-round pick type of deal because they really don't have assets to move. Like we mentioned, they had, like Brown and Carter and all these trades. But realistically, those guys aren't really valuable. So I don't know really who would want them. So I don't think there's a lot of moves to be made. I think the Nets would be active on the buyout market. But with, like, we're going to get into it a little later, but the Joe Harris thing's a little interesting now. We'll talk when we get into the injury report, but that's my take right now.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I could agree. And also, now that you mentioned Dennis Schroeder, that just clicked in my head. It didn't click last episode. Bruce is from Boston, and, like, he has to okay wherever he goes. So if we do propose, like, a Bruce Brown for Dennis Schroeder deal, I could see Bruce agreeing to that if he wanted to go play home.
I talked to my buddy who's a Celtics fan. I actually brought that trade up, and he's like, I love Bruce Brown. I was like, yeah, he's kind of in a down year. He's like, yeah, Dennis Schroeder's been awful. Like, maybe he can help. And he's like really Marcus Smart's been playing amazing at point guard. So when Schroeder comes in, it's like a black hole on offense. So that's actually like a realistic trade. I thought it wasn't realistic, to be honest, when I brought it up as a joke. So maybe, like you said, the Boston factor could help.
Yeah, no, because in reality, that's where Bruce grew up. He's from Boston. He's a Boston guy. I could definitely see him. That might be a place that he okays. But I honestly don't see the Nets making any moves. I think the biggest move for the Nets is everybody getting healthy. And it's the same story as last year. I mean, everybody got healthy, and then it just derailed once we got to the playoffs. But I feel like you play the hand that you've been dealt. And it's just like, what really can the Nets do? They can't do much at this point. It would have to be a small move. And how much do these lateral moves really impact the team going forward? That's just something that Sean Marks is going to have to figure out. I could see maybe a small deal, but I really don't think anything major is going to happen.
Yeah.
I tend to agree. Do you guys think Claxton's moving, or do you think Claxton's staying? I think he's kind of the one name that's been constantly popping up that actually has some value on the Nets.
I think
he stays, but I'm open to trading him. I'm not – like, where the team is at right now, they need shooting. I don't think center is a problem. I know Aldridge is banged up. I know Sharp has a non-COVID illness, but that's going to be too long. I don't know. I just think the Nets really need shooting. If that means getting rid of a guy like that, they're not even going to retain in the offseason, if I'm going to be completely honest, and you have to do it. Like, the problem is 83% of the Nets salary I saw today is in their top four players, the big three and Joe Harris, and they played zero games together. So you have 17% right. of the roster to make up 11 slots. That's not really a lot, considering all things considered. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree. But I guess it'll be something to keep an eye on. Like I said, we went into it in great depth, so we can move on. I want to really talk about the injury report. Particularly, I want to start with Joe Harris. His ankle situation has been incredibly unclear the entire time it's happened. It's constantly changed. There haven't been updates. Like, we haven't really heard anything from the Nets, like the team. Today, Brian Lewis reported that Joe Harris's agent said that Harris might need a second ankle surgery, which should fix the ankle problem for certain. And then they went on to say that they are not sure if they're going to have to go that route and that they should find out in the next week to 2 weeks. What are your guys' thoughts on that? Which obviously is horrible, horrible news, but if he doesn't need it, is he going to be playing injured? If he does get it, will he be back for the playoffs? So there's still a ton of uncertainty, bad news, and it doesn't get any better for the Mets.
Yeah, like I kind of figured a report like this was going to come out eventually. Did I think it would come out for a third-party source again after we heard the Haynes thing about the second opinion? No, it's kind of sad the Nets can't give us like a straight answer. Like, it just, like, they put the injury report out and that's it. No one talks about it. Hush, hush. Like, I don't know what they gain from that. Like, they've always been shady with injuries since, like, this Sean Marks era, I guess. But, yeah, it doesn't sound good. That's why I was saying before, like, when we were talking about trades, if there's no certainty, like, within the next week, I'm open to trading him. As much as it hurts, he's the last guy from, like, that feel-good group. Like, you need guys that can play on the court right now. Sacramento calls me and says Buddy Hield or Joe Harris. I'm taking that in a heartbeat right now, just because you need bodies on the floor.
Joe Harris doesn't seem like a guy that's going to be 100% this year, or you're going to get a lot of it, or even you can be in the group. Like, you need to. You're the best at winning games, and that's your 1.5 games up on the play-in right now. Like 1.5. That's insane to think about going into this year.
Interesting analysis, but you sound like you're underwater right now.
What happened?
I said, interesting analysis, Anthony, but you sound like you're underwater right now.
Were you able to hear what I said, though?
I heard most of it.
I heard most of it, but your volume got real low. I think your hand was probably on your mic or something.
Yeah, sorry about that. So basically, like, if Sacramento ends up calling you saying, like, a Buddy Hield type of deal, like, I'm not opposed to it just because you need a guy to play. And you don't, like, there's no guarantee of next year, obviously, with James Harden, Kyrie Irving. Like, it's very murky right now, and like, if you could get a guaranteed guy playing versus a guy you're like worried about getting back on the court this year, like, what do you do? Like, that's the question I'm throwing out right there. Would you guys?
I mean, it's so difficult. It really is. Like, we thought we were like just a few weeks away from getting Joe Harris back, and now he. I'd say at this point it's likely he gets the second operation, because why would Joe Harris push that off and then possibly have to get that operation down the line when he could get the operation, still be back by the playoffs? Like, probably we don't know how long he would be out if he gets the second surgery. So it's just like, it's another thing. Like, my one friend who's a Clipper fan, he's like, he texts me all the time. He's like, why are both of our teams so vague with injury reports? I'm like, dude, I really don't know. I'm like, maybe it's because we have the two wealthiest owners in the league. I'm like, it just doesn't make any sense. These guys don't want to disclose really anything. Like Paul George, they said he was out 6 to 8 weeks, like 4 weeks ago. And now they're saying, oh yeah, he might not return this season. Like and then the Nets are the same way. It's just like Joe Harris, like we were told he's on the court shooting, he's out of the boot, he's making progress, he's probably going to come back right after the All-Star break. And then, boom, now there's another surgery on the table for Joe Harris. I think it's probably smarter for his sake just to get the second operation if he needs it and solve the problem for good, so that just say he doesn't have to deal with it anymore down the line. But, right. You know, I'm not going to tell the guy what to do with his body, you know. But
yeah. So, I mean, my thing is, I'm not a doctor, obviously. I don't know what's going on with Joe Harris's ankle. I don't think any fan truthfully does. But I would think that if he had the operation now, if it would fix the injury for good, and he was to be back by the playoffs, why would they wait the 2 weeks to see what happens, is what I think. I feel like if that was an option, it was going to solve it, and he'd be back by the playoffs, I feel like they would just do it now and get it over with. The fact that they're waiting concerns me that if he does have to get the operation, he won't be back for the playoffs. That's just my logic behind it, and it kind of concerns me even more.
Yeah,
Joe Harris is out for the year. Do you trade him?
I mean, I don't know what kind of value you would get from him, but if you don't trade him, you have to move someone, whether it's Claxton, whether you give up on Cam Thomas. But the Nets have to get another shooter. They can't just have Patty Mills, because it's putting way too much strain on Patty Mills. And if Patty Mills has a bad shooting night, there's literally not another spot-up shooter on the Nets. I wouldn't really consider Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving a spot-up shooter, so they really don't have anyone that can do that role.
Yeah, that's the thing, because it's like it's like if Joe Harris is out for the year and you do want to make a move and say you do want to trade, like you do have the option to make a move and dealing one of your young guys, you're still not going to get much better because it's like their salaries are so little. So like you would have to combine, right. Likely if you want to upgrade, you have to combine Joe Harris with Nick Claxton or with Cam Thomas to really upgrade. So it's just like, it's the Nets are in a giant clusterfuck cap-wise. And it's just like, what, like really, what can you do? You can't do anything. I mean, and if like, like you would have probably have to package Joe Harris and Cam Thomas in order to get a real upgrade. And I don't even know who that upgrade is. Like that's probably like $21 million in salary, but like there's, you don't, you know how the NBA works. The cap goes up and then freaking Festus Ezeli ends up with $21 million somehow. It's just like, you know, that was the first name that came to my head for some reason, but you know what I'm
saying. Yeah, I know. It's just, it's a tough situation. Obviously, hopefully Joe Harris comes back. He doesn't need the operation. That would be the best case scenario. But who the hell knows what's going to happen? It's been, it feels like it's been, what, 2 months, 3 months since this original ankle injury started? And we're still not sure.
This is our 14th game, I think, and we're on game 52 coming up.
Right. And we still don't have a clear timetable at all, which is just frustrating. Next injury, Kevin Durant, which another unclear. Steve Nash said, I think it was either last week or the week before, that they were going to reevaluate Kevin Durant in the upcoming week. I don't know if the team did and there was just no update, but I don't know if you guys have seen anything, but I haven't seen anything on Kevin Durant. I listened to part of his podcast on Boardroom, et cetera, his podcast, and he did mention how he's getting back into the swing of things and said something along the lines of we'll see about being out until the All-Star break. But once again, nothing from the team, which I don't know. It just rubs me the wrong way that they don't let the fans know like what's going on with their players. I feel like it's kind of their job to let the fans know that.
Yeah.
And it's very frustrating that they don't.
I agree. It's like, how do you not provide an update on the best player in the league and his injury?
Right. Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. Like the Joe Harris situation is one thing, right? Like Joe Harris is a role player on your team. Yes, he makes a lot of money, but he, at the end of the day, he's a role player on your team. And his injury and his timetable has been uncertain. So yes, we haven't gotten an update. Kevin Durant, you said you're going to reevaluate him and you don't at least like give an update. Like, yeah, KD's still on track to return after the timetable we originally set. Like you can't even say that. Like, I mean, and KD, regardless, I think he's out through the All-Star break. He'll probably come back like shortly after the All-Star break is over if everything goes to plan. But I feel like, why do you even rush to bring him back before the All-Star break where he gets an extra week to recover and really get back into game shape during the All-Star break?
Yeah, I kind of agree with what your take, Joe. Like, I think, like both with both you guys, I guess, like the visibility from the Nets needs to be better, but definitely no All-Star game. I don't know if he wants to play in it because, like, he hasn't played in it as a Net yet. I don't know if that really matters to him. I prefer if he just sat it out for, like, his own sake. But I think it means that he's going to be on the shorter side, but don't forget he's definitely going to need a ramp up. Like, you're, that word has just ingrained in my head at this point.
Yeah. So hopefully Kevin Durant, I think he'll be back, like Joe said and Anthony said, very shortly after the All-Star break. And then we got another injury. We got LaMarcus Aldridge, who went down. He was seen leaving the arena on crutches, which was revealed to be precautionary. He was putting weight on his ankle. He had an MRI. Once again, I don't know if you guys saw any update on the MRI, but I personally have not. I guess the Nets are calling it an ankle sprain, and that's why he's ruled out for tomorrow. But once again, who really knows? I don't know if you guys have seen anything, but like I said, I personally have not.
Yeah, more vagueness again. Like,
move your hand in.
I think they're going to the precautionary side with Aldridge in his hand, at his ankle and everything. But to be honest, like, who knows? It's like more vagueness.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just one thing I don't get. It's like, how do you, like, these are three key guys on your team.
Right.
There are two of your starting five. All three of your starting five. I was excluding KD from that. But three of your starting five, and you're not giving injury updates. It doesn't make any sense.
Right. Why even release that he's going for an MRI if you're not going to then say what the MRI showed?
It really doesn't make any sense.
But, I mean, Aldridge, I think Aldridge has been the most underrated net this entire season, personally. I don't know if you guys agree with that, but I think he's been tremendous and has really helped the Nets offense, which surprisingly has struggled for a majority of the season. I mean, he gives a different look at center. So hopefully they get all three guys back soon, because as we all know, the Nets desperately need some help.
Yeah, very much so. But in terms of most underrated net, I'm still going with Patty Mills.
Patty Mills, that's fair. See, I personally give Patty Mills a ton of credit. So, like, for me,
Nets fans in general do. But, like, I'm talking about, like, grand scheme NBA. There was a stat that came out yesterday. Patty Mills already has his career high in threes this season.
Yeah, the Nets, I can't remember what game it was, but one of the opposition's coaches within the last week said Patty, by, like, all statistics and all metrics, Patty Mills has been the best shooter in the NBA this year. I can't remember which coach said it, but this was with one of the opponents in the last week. So,
yeah. Oh, imagine. I saw, I think it was Matt Brooks tweet. Imagine if Patty Mills signed with the Warriors. My God.
Bro, I saw that. And like, I had like, we're going through enough of a rough patch. I had some nightmares from that tweet. I was like, I don't even want to think about that.
I was like, oh no. And credit to Matt Brooks also, I want to say, because at the beginning of the offseason, he made like this video about potential targets for the Nets. And Patty Mills was the first guy on his list. And I was like, there's no way Patty Mills ends up here. Like, how are we even going to afford him? And we ended up signing him on the MLE. I'm like, that is insane. And I'm like, he was on it from day one. So that's big credit to Matt Brooks.
Yeah, Patty Mills has been incredible, but enough of negativity for now with the injuries. Some all-star reserves were announced tonight. Obviously, Kevin Durant was captain for the East. We found that out earlier. But tonight we found out that James Harden, who many fans of the Nets have been very critical of, was just announced to his 10th straight all-star appearance. Overall, I think they got the all-stars pretty spot on. I think the West, you could make an argument for DeJounte Murray, but the hard part is whenever you say someone should go in, obviously someone has to come out, and I really don't know who comes out of the West for that. And then I think Jarrett Allen or LaMelo Ball were the two biggest snubs in the East.
Yeah, you're spot with all three for me.
I personally don't think that Chris Middleton should have made the East, so that's who I would take out. And then hopefully either Allen or LaMelo Ball takes Kevin Durant's spot if he's unable to play, but that will be Commissioner Silver's decision.
You know, KD's not going to play in the All-Star game, and neither is Draymond Green. So I would assume DeJounte Murray gets in for the West, and I would also assume that Jared Allen gets in for the East. And I also want to say, like, good on Fred VanVleet, man. His journey is insane, and, like, congrats to him. Becoming an all-star. That's really, like, awesome. The guy got a ring, guy got a bag. Now he's an all-star. That's awesome.
How about Ant Edwards, though? I think Ant Edwards is up there, too.
Anthony Edwards, yeah. And I think LaMelo, Jarrett, Anthony Edwards, and DeJounte are probably, like, the big, like, four that, like, the next, like, the first four out as, like I think all of them deserve it. There's just, you know, not enough.
I agree. And I'm going to be honest, I tweeted this out. I don't know if you guys saw it, but when they announced Darius Garland, I thought that James Harden was going to be the odd man out. Oh no, they announced Jimmy Butler, and then they went with Garland, kind of another guard. I was concerned that Harden wasn't going to get in. I don't know if that was just recent memory bias.
Because I thought we all assumed that there would at least be one center off the bench in the East.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I was thinking the same thing. I was watching it, and I'm just like, and when they got to the last one before they announced Fred VanVleet, I was like, okay, is this going to be Bam or is this going to be Jarrett? I'm like, who are they even going to pick? But it ended up being Fred, and good on him once again. But I think Jarrett definitely deserved it. He's been balling this year. Also, with the reserves, when they announced it, did you notice how everybody that was announced they were talking positively about, and they just reading off James Harden's stats, lowest since his rookie year, lowest of his career. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, nothing but negative.
Even when they announced him, they were like, James Harden. Everyone else, they're like, oh, from the Phoenix Suns, yeah. Chris Paul. And I guess James Harden, they're like, James Harden. I was like, oh boy.
Yeah, I was just like, oh man, like nobody's excited about this, huh?
All right. So, as we said, the Nets have lost 6 games in a row. Before we get into the 3 games that we have seen since we last spoke, Warriors, Suns, Kings, I just want to ask both of you guys kind of what's your concern level? I know we've asked this at frequent points throughout the season, but we're getting close to the finish line of the regular season, and the Nets are, I think they're a game and a half out of the play-in tournament, which is shocking to even think about. So, Joe, I'll start with you. Kind of what's your overall concern level for where the Brooklyn Nets currently are?
I mean, I'm pretty confident that we're going to get our guys back. So it's like I'm not going to say I'm too concerned. But as this thing stands right now, the way, like, we're watching this team, it's just like out of 10, I'd probably put it at, like, a 7. Like, I feel like if we get our guys back, like when we have our guys, I feel like there is nobody in this league that can beat us in a 7-game series. That's just my personal feeling. But I feel like it's just like a rerun of last year where it's just like all these guys are barely playing together. They're coming back right in time for the playoffs. And we get to the playoffs. We have a few good showings. Then we struggle. And then not like hopefully nobody gets hurt again. But like, my God, like if we watch that Boston series again, like it's like the way we were playing in that series, it's like nobody's going to beat this team. But it's just like, man, like the way the team's constructed right now, it's like I'm not a fan. We need more shooting. Not a fan at all about that. But this is the time where I go back to I miss Jeff Green. This just happens every single time.
Yeah.
Every time I think about what can help the Nets right now, it's like, man, imagine like if we had last year with injuries turned off and we have Spencer Dinwiddie and Jeff Green and Kyrie Irving and James Harden and Kevin Durant and like LaMarcus Aldridge at that point too. Like, God. But yeah, I'll put it at like a 7 as of right now, just based off team construction, not based off the ability of our guys when healthy.
Anthony?
So all things considered, injuries, schedule, situations, I'm going to go at a 9. I don't know if I'm being a little pessimistic, but with the Kyrie uncertainty for playoffs and the rest of the regular season, they said Adams is not really considering changing. Obviously, Kyrie's not considering. It seems like we're going to have to do this road home game thing for the playoffs too. Hopefully something changes, but that's very up in the air. You have the Joe Harris uncertainty. Katie be back, but how far are we going to fall without him? The team's construction of shooting and just all things considered, like even if they get back all together by like mid-March, I'd say they'd be like pretty optimistic, get the full band back together. Like, I don't even know if like how long are they going to stay healthy for? Like, it's insane. And James Harden, like not playing sometimes with effort, not shooting well. Like yesterday was 4 points, 2-for-11 shooting, six turnovers. And like, did he even play defense in some possessions? Like, if you're not that in a game where you've lost 5 in a row, when is the, bubble going to go off? Like, where we need to turn this around? It seems like it's more of the same, like Joe said, of last year. And it's kind of frustrating, especially with the uncertainty of the futures of James Harden and Kyrie Irving on the Nets. Like, all things considered, I'm pretty worried about everything. I'm not trying to put the fear into people, but I'm also going to keep it real and not be like, oh, we're going to be fine.
Yeah, I mean, my whole narrative all season has been, when the Nets are healthy, no one will beat them. And the longer we go, it's been, what, basically 13 months since James Harden got traded to the Nets. And they've been fully healthy for maybe 15 to 20 games in over a year. I think several role players have regressed from last season, whether it's Bruce Brown, Blake Griffin, et cetera. Obviously, who knows what's going on with Joe Harris. I think James Harden has regressed. That's not saying he's still not a great player, but he's not the player he was last year. obviously the Kyrie Irving situation. So I'm also right up there with you, Anthony. I'm around an 8 or a 9, so I think I'm a little more concerned with Joe. But at the end of the day, whenever Kevin Durant plays, I feel confident that the Nets are going to win. He just needs some sort of help to get the Nets there, I would say. But
that's a good take. It's a really good take.
But in general, like, I'm pretty concerned because I don't even know if Kevin Durant can solve all of these issues. But I don't know. I think the East is a lot more talented than people are giving credit for. I'm still terribly afraid of the Milwaukee Bucks. I was afraid of them last year throughout the entire season. I said they were a bigger threat than Philadelphia, Miami, et cetera, through the entire season. And I kind of got shit for it. But just the way they're constructed with Giannis, Middleton, Drew Holiday, they have some bigs. They're athletic. They're really a nightmare matchup for the Nets, in my opinion, when they're fully healthy, let alone when you have what the Nets currently are. So overall, I'm pretty concerned. But let's get into each game real quick. We'll start with the Warriors. This was the most enjoyable Nets game I watched in a while. Obviously, the Nets ended up losing, but Kyrie Irving was absolutely tremendous. He was by himself. As we all know, there was no Durant. And James Harden was ruled out. We found out about a hand injury that no one knew about. Once again, Nets not being transparent. But anyways, I thought the officiating down the stretch was pretty poor. Nets end up losing despite Kyrie's greatness. One question. Do you think Nash should have challenged at the end of the game? There was 2 fouls, one on Kessler Edwards, which I believe he should have challenged that one on Curry when he dove in. And then there was a foul on Kyrie Irving before they inbounded the ball. If you were Nash, would you have challenged either of those? I don't know who wants to start, Anthony or Joe.
Oh, I'll go. Like, I mean, I don't understand why you don't. Like, isn't that what the
challenge is? Yeah.
Like, that's literally what it's for. It's not like you're saving it for something else. This late game situation. Like, challenge the play. It's literally, you were right there. For the win was in, like, in within grasp. And it's just like, you don't challenge it. You let the bad call go. The last 2-minute report did say that, like, if the Nets had challenged it, like, they would have won. And not won the game, but, like, the call would have been overturned. But
right. The Edwards foul, correct? I believe the Kyrie one would not have been overturned from what that was the report.
Yeah. The one would have been overturned. But, like, what's the point of holding that challenge throughout the rest of the game? Like, why don't you take a shot on it at least? It doesn't.
Right.
It doesn't
make sense. I agree. Yeah, I don't know. It was very frustrating to see them lose that game. I thought Kessler Edwards was tremendous. And the Nets game plan pretty much shut down Curry and Klay Thompson until the end. I believe Curry and Thompson scored the final 17 points for the Warriors at the end of the game. But besides that, they were both pretty much getting shut down. It was a heartbreaking loss. The Nets played really hard, shorthanded. Kind of surprised everyone that they were even in the game, and then it really just sucks that they lost it at the end. I don't know if there's anything else you guys want to say about that game, but that's pretty much my overall takeaways for it.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. Like, just like everything you guys said, it's just one of those games you wish you had back, and you're proud of the guys who are fighting hard, but at the end of the day, you got to start putting W's on the board.
Yeah, Joe, you want to add anything, or?
No, I'm ready to move on from the stretch of games entirely.
I feel that. Let's quickly talk about the Suns. That game was literally – so, I don't know, man. Like, that was one of the worst officiated games I think I've ever seen in my life. And I'm not one
– dude.
I'm not one to usually blame the refs, but that was pretty bad. But just in general, the Suns are a completely well-oiled machine with Chris Paul and Devin Booker being in control. So – I don't know, like, you can't really be mad about the loss, but I don't know. Once again, I don't really have much to say about these games in general, but I think we lost Anthony. I think he disconnected.
Yeah, well, this he lost his Wi-Fi probably again, I guess. But no, it's just like, I don't know what to even say about that game. It's just like, that team is so good. They are so good. They are so well-rounded. Just like, they have shooters literally everywhere. And it's like, their team is just constructed so well. And of course, literally at the buzzer, we found out Crowder and Ayton are both going to play and start. And like, just happened all at once. It was I'm just trying to say, like, everything just came crumbling down on the Nets that needed a break. And it's just like all at once. Yeah, gross.
Every questionable player ever plays against the Nets. Like, if the guy's out for 2 months, like, he's coming back to play against the Nets. Like, every time, like, someone's not playing, I just assume they're playing now, and it constantly happens. I just don't get it.
Yeah, and I, whenever that happens, I assume that the person on the other team that's injured is trying to play, is going to play, and then we're going to rest James Harden for no reason.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest take is the Nets and every other team in the NBA should strive to be like the Phoenix Suns, which should come as no surprise, given that they are 41-10 after the loss tonight to the Hawks. But they just play such a good team basketball. I think a lot of credit needs to go to Chris Paul for that. And then Devin Booker is just an absolute assassin, and he's incredible. I think he got robbed from being a starter in the All-Star game, personally. But that's a different discussion for a different day. All right, let's move on to the Kings. This is just embarrassing. Like, I watched the first quarter, and I saw that possession where James Harden just didn't track his man to the corner. And then literally the next possession, James Harden just simply didn't contest his man. He just stood there. Both were made threes. And I was like, yep, this game's going to be shit for the Nets. They're not going to try. And I turned the game off and I went to bed because I was not staying up until almost 1 o'clock again. And sure enough, the Nets absolutely shit the bed in the second half. James Harden, like Anthony said, 2 of 11, 4 points. Kyrie Irving did not shoot the ball well. They wasted a great game by their role players, I do want to say, because the role players were incredible. Nick Claxton had 23 and 11. James Johnson was 8 and 11 for the field for 18 points. And the Nets lost. So this game was just embarrassing. Like Anthony said, you've lost 5 in a row. You're playing against the Kings, who have not been a good team this year. You would hope there would have been some desperation, some kind of like kick in the ass of, we got to win and get going. Like, this is a get me going game, and it just simply did not happen. They scored 101 points against the Kings, who give up the third most points in the NBA. Pretty unacceptable, in my opinion, but I won't rant. I'll let you guys take your take on this game before we move on to the upcoming two games to close out the weekend.
I cannot believe they lost that game. Like, it just, that's a disgusting loss. That's it.
Yeah, that's pretty much all. Yeah. Joe, anything else, or just forget about it, move on? Watching, I don't even want to talk about it.
I mean, obviously, watching the game, like, I'm just like, okay, we have like a 10-point lead for the most part. It'll go down to 4. Nets will bring it back up to 10. And I didn't even realize until like the fourth quarter how bad James Harden was playing. And then Kyrie Irving as well. I was like, Jesus. I look at the box score, I'm like, man, this is awful. But no, that game stinks. We stink. So that's it.
Yeah, let's forget about it. Like you said, these games are brutal. Brutal to watch, brutal to think about, even more brutal to talk about and relive it. So let's move on. Joe, as you said, you are in first for our little pick me challenge, which means you get to go first tonight. Were you first last episode too?
Yes.
You were. That's what I thought. But so we're going to pick the Utah Jazz on tomorrow, which is Friday, and then the Nuggets on Sunday.
Okay. 8-game losing streak for the Brooklyn Nets.
God damn, that hurts. That hurts to just even hear, like, Anthony.
Sucks, but that's what I'm going with.
I'm going to go win. I know, loss win.
Lost one. All right. I mean, I got to make some ground up. And I've been pretty negative this entire episode, just like last episode. So I'm going to go win-win. Donovan Mitchell will be back tomorrow. Woj announced today, of course. Kind of follows the theme that Anthony said, every player returns against the Nets. I actually think they said that Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, and Kevin Garnett were planning on coming out of retirement for Tuesday's game in Brooklyn against the Celtics. But – I think Rudy Gobert being out is huge for the Nets, who struggle against bigs. So I'm going to pick a win against the Jazz and then a win against the Nuggets, just because at some point, desperation has to kick in where, like James Harden said, all they've been doing is talking. They actually have to play. So hopefully we see it in this ugliness, and let's give us a more upbeat episode at the beginning of next week, following 2 Brooklyn Nets wins.
Hopefully.
Because I don't know, man. Like, this is the worst I've felt about the Mets in a while. And as all Mets fans know, we've gone through some bullshit. But I think that's where we're going to end today. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Once again, this is the Sports Ethos Nets podcast with Cody, Anthony, and Joe. Let's go, Nets. Need to get some wins. We can't endure this much longer.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro, and I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that, too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers, while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge. And now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.